You know, so often we think that, well, there's going to be a new message tonight. There's a new story. There is no new message. It's all the same Jesus. Maybe performed a little differently and brought to you a little different, but we have the same message. I have my message right there tonight on the back of that. So that's pretty good, isn't it? You'll be out when you get out tonight. If you have to leave early, just don't let the Lord hit you when you start out, because He's going to be in your heart while we're here. I heard someone call me tonight, and when they called, I invited them. Brother Jim, I didn't invite them, but they called me, and then I invited them. So that's pretty good, wasn't it? But they were kin to these Caps people over here. I think they said they were Mr. Kenneth Anderson down, and I believe, Brother Billy, your wife's people might be. They were asking me about the Caps. I said, well, I don't know any. Then all of a sudden I learned that you were Caps. So we're glad to see you tonight, and I hope they come tomorrow night. I think Mr. Kenneth's going to come tomorrow night, and hope to see him, and especially maybe all of you. Invite someone, if you would, please. We look forward. If I could preach this message like the Lord worked on me today, you wouldn't have a chance to leave here lost tonight or on the way to being on the fence. You would be bound for glory tonight if I could just only give it to you. I've sit there today. I didn't get the message till today, really. I lay around today, didn't do anything. I did go to Smithfield, came back, and just sort of lay around and trying to figure, Lord, where are you going to speak at? And somewhere about 3:30 or 4 this evening, He began to work on my spirit and my heart. And He began to let me know something like this. I wonder how Jesus felt. I wonder how Jesus felt with no spirit. That's pretty strong, isn't it? I wonder how Jesus felt with no spirit. Think about that. I bet you'd never thought about that, had you? There was a time that Jesus had no spirit in Him. That's when He died for you. In the book of St. Luke, and that's why I've wept today, and my heart's been overwhelmed that I could just stay there and couldn't speak much, but I could sit there and relax and say, Lord, if You've got a message tonight, I'm going to try. And I repented and I said, Lord, if there's anything in my heart that would hinder the message that You won't deliver tonight, move it out of the way. The 23rd chapter of St. Luke, you'll find some scriptures that I want to share with you tonight, 39 through 46, and then we'll probably run over there to the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, for a moment. But I want to share with you tonight, and may the Lord bless and add His real blessings to my heart so that I could preach for Him tonight. You know, we preachers aren't supposed to preach for ourselves. We're supposed to preach to the glory and for the glory of God. And I don't know why so many times we want to be on that high echelon, you know, or high plateau. The Bible says to be abased. Then He can use you and lift you and exalt you and exalt His name. But I want you to look at it tonight, and thank you again for coming. I'm going to get with it, and I'm glad you came tonight. I missed you last night. I wonder how Jesus felt, 23rd St. Luke 39 through 46. Let's read a few verses there. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, and I want you to sort of put yourself where that thief was. One of them fixing to die. There was two of them. They were thieves, the Bible says. And so they railed on Him, saying, if Thou be Christ, save Thyself and us. Yes, Jesus died for us, and He was Christ at this time. His Spirit was in Him at this time. And remember that. And the other answering rebuked Him, saying, dost not Thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? You're going to die, fella. You need to get it right. It's time to shape up. You only have a few more moments to live in this old world. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember thou me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was fixing to die, they were. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today. See, I know Jesus won't go stay in the grave too long, the spirit won't, but I knew the body would, like it said, for the days, the 3 days, wasn't it? But as you think about this scripture, the spirit was to go on and be taken care of. Why? He'll tell you in a moment or two. He says, verily I say unto thee, or to thee today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, about 12 o'clock, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and when the sun was darkened. Now, let me tell you something. People think that God doesn't do many things, but on that day, he got people's attention. And don't you ever forget that. All hell was happy. All the joy of the devil was fixing to explode, thinking he was going to defeat the Lord God Almighty. Now look at this very carefully. And so the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple, and I'm sure at this time Satan wondered about everything. The temple was rent in the midst. And then the verse that we're going to speak to you about tonight some is this. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he says, Father, he's fixing to have no spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. The centurion saw it, and he said, this certainly was a great thing that was done. He glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. In the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, let me read about a verse here or so. And listen to the word here. The 45th verse, let's read that, and it'll tell you about the same thing, but this records just a little different, but that other, I think, is just as important and more important to some degree to finalize the fact about the Spirit. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Now, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus Christ began to deal with the personality of having no spirit left in him, he began to feel some very, very sad moments. I don't know if you realize tonight that when Jesus Christ died, he had to get rid of the spirit of his. The Bible says that spirit that dwelled in him, we must have the spirit in us. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one spirit, one God. So we have to have the spirit of Christ. And if you think about it just for a few moments, children, tonight, you'll find out that when he spoke those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, God turned his back because God could not look on sin. Jesus Christ, when he had said those words, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And then that moment proved that he was going to die shortly. And notice, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice in the book of Luke, he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. I wonder how the Lord Jesus must have felt with no spirit. Something that he had lost all of a sudden. There was a creation of man once upon a time, many, many years before then. And he created a perfect man. And all of a sudden, here was the perfect Son of God. The first Adam was created. He was the second Adam. And Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, he had to come to this old world, and he had to get rid of the sin that had man had fallen and fell into sin. And he had lost his life. He had no life to live in sin. And so therefore, the wages of sin is death. We know that. But Jesus Christ had to face reality on behalf of you and I. That that day. And I want you to think for just a moment tonight. It's no wonder when a man today sees the very worship of God going on in a happy man's heart. He has a privilege to know that if we're in sin condition, if we're sinners tonight, we are dead in the trespasses of sin. And therefore, this man will feel miserable. Get under the sound of the gospel, and I'll tell you tonight, you're going to feel miserable if the Word of God and the Spirit of God is dealing in the preaching of the business. And the thing that preaching is about tonight is to give the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ the privilege to draw men unto Him and to forgive their sin. It's by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, are you all baptized into the body of Christ? You can't join the body of Christ. I wish all these churches today could get people converted and saved and born again to get them into the church, and you'd have a church that was full of glory. The presence of the Lord would walk through the church and the church would be filled. You wouldn't have to worry. You wouldn't even need a preacher. Have you ever thought about that? The beauty of living today comes in Christ Jesus. You were dead in your trespasses of sin. Jesus Christ died and He understood what death meant. I believe you had to take that idea of death for the simple fact of this. If He was going to save me and know how much it was going to take to save me out of sin, He needed to know what death was about. He gave all He had. He died. He had no spirit. He knew how it felt to be lost and condemned. He knew how it felt to know that He could never again in that situation go by and touch someone's life. He knew He could never walk again and say, receive your sight today. Get rid of the blindness. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear. He could not do that in the state of death that he was in. When he said, Father, here's my spirit. Here's the spirit. Receive it. Hold it for me till this evening or this afternoon, and I'll have it with the man. We'll be spiritual down there in a paradise this afternoon. So he told the man, he said, we're going to be there this afternoon. So he gave him the Spirit. The Lord God Almighty held the Spirit in his hand. And I believe one of the greatest things in the world was this, that when the Spirit of God, the Son of God, when Jesus gave the Father His Spirit, and He needed that Spirit. You know why I believe God needed that Spirit tonight? I believe He needed that Spirit to know that He was broken, His heart was heavy laden, and He was down. His Son that had died for the world of sin, His Son was feeling the effects of what a lost man was about, what the Lord Jesus felt that day, His Father felt, and He knew His Spirit could say, Father, I know what He's going through. We've talked about it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He came and He bowed His heart and He prayed and He bled like He sweated to it became His dread drops of blood, the Bible said, and He knew about it. The Spirit knew where Jesus was. Jesus didn't know how deep it could get, but I'm telling you tonight, Jesus Christ died for your lost soul, my friend, and it's no time to put on. It's time to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to be ready to live tonight. It's time to know that there is no life outside of Christ today. It's time for us to know who we are tonight. We just can't say join a church and be going to heaven. You can't do that tonight. And I'll tell you more than that. We need to understand that there's something more in this old world than our ideas. The good thing about this old world today is this, that we have a better world coming. We don't belong here anyway. When the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit that Jesus Christ had in Him, when it was taken away and God said it for a few moments, I'll turn my back on sin. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you and I ever realize the importance of a Savior dying with no spirit, you'll live a different life. You see, He knows how you are. He knows where you go. He knows your mind. See, He was a man. He was the Son of God without a spirit. Did you know if you have the Spirit, though, you become the sons of God like Him? Think about it. If you live the life as you should today, my friend, you need to know and understand. I wrote these two or three things down. I wonder how Jesus felt with no spirit. Father, to thy hands I commend my spirit. Without the Spirit, the body is dead. So then, God, who forsook the Son, for you and I, Jesus took your death upon Him and condemned sin in the flesh. It took a pretty good boy to do that, didn't it? It took a young man. He was in the 30 bracket. He was able to do the 33-year-old bracket. He was able to take the sins of the world in the body. Someone said he was weak going up Calvary. He was weak and he was trodden and he was downcast. But let me tell you something, my friend. When he was going up that hill, the Spirit of God moved him. But when he got to the top, he had to leave all that beside and he had to do the dying himself. But he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done anything he wanted to. But you see, he laid his life down for me and you. There was no one else to do it. All the human race in the world, he died. Every person in the world has the same line of blood, so to speak. And if you go to heaven, you'll have the blood of Christ to cover your multitude of sins. And we have a multitude, my friend. The blood is a continuous cleansing for us. But as he said, Father, here's my spirit. Take it and hold it for me and handle it. You see, the reason he had to do that was one purpose. You can't kill God. If he hadn't have got rid of his spirit, he'd have never died for you. He had to be like you. He had to be human. If men could only realize Jesus was like you one day. We think he was. We have an idea sometimes. But I say, Lord, if I can preach to get people to see the story, to see it like painting a picture, maybe they'll understand it better. Because the more you see, the better you believe, don't you? But you walk by faith, you don't walk by the seeing. Walk by faith and not by sight. And as you look at this story tonight and you think about it, if Jesus Christ had to deal with being dead, what in the world? What in the world is going on? For a moment or two, the devil thought he had it won. But you know, when he died, the spirit didn't stay dead. It didn't stay away from him, so to speak. He went into his spirit. God let it go that afternoon, and he met a man in paradise. And then he went and just, you know the story about how he went into the unknown places that we don't even think about much and rescued the saints of old. The Bible says in Matthew, one of the areas there, that when the resurrection came, a few days, moments there, that the saints came out of the graves. Jesus Christ prepared the way. If you and I tonight could only realize the power of God in the Spirit and the power of God in the flesh today, there is no power in the flesh. The flesh is enmity towards God, the Bible said. The only flesh that would glorify and make the Lord Jesus and God happy was the flesh that Jesus Christ presented to die for us as a supreme sacrifice. That's the only flesh that's pleasing to God today. And as he pleased the Lord, but Christ died for our transgressions. He died for our sins. And there's nothing in the world important today. I can tell you tonight, when a man comes to the knowledge of the truth and when he realizes that he's lost and condemned today, he has to realize that Jesus Christ knows where he stood, and he knows that Jesus Christ, since he came out of the tomb and is on the way and at the right hand of the Father tonight, he knows that Jesus Christ has a spirit in him that overcame the world. You can preach. Sometimes I think we look like dummies up here, but that doesn't matter either, does it? When you know the truth has set you free. Tim Hardy, you can preach to anybody. You can go anywhere. You can do anything. You can have an idea to serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with thanksgiving, because the Spirit that Jesus Christ had dwells in us. Read it in the book of Romans 8 chapter. And if the same Spirit that dwelled in the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in you, that Spirit that dwells in you will one day bring that mortal body to immortality and give you a chance to get out of this old world and go on and be with J.D. Woodall, Judy, and Mom and Daddy. Listen to me today. The Spirit that Christ had, you better get busy today. You can just come up and join the church if you want to, but that ain't worth 5 cents in the place of God. You've got to come and acknowledge Jesus Christ as the spiritual man, and you want a spirituality with the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. He is Spirit. You can't just go join a church. It ain't worth 5 cents to be a Powhatan church member. It ain't worth 5 cents to be at Pleasant Plain or any other church. The Lord Jesus Christ works in the heart of you men and women, boys and girls. He works in my heart. If He don't work in our hearts, we've got trouble. And if He's not what He said He was, we really got trouble. Because our faith would be in vain, would it not? But listen to what He says here. He spoke to these children, and it breaks my heart to know that in that moment of His death, He truly died. He died. But in that moment, I can look back at all the miracles He did, all the families He raised from the dead prior to that. And here it was. If He had not have come back, if He didn't have power, and His Spirit. If they'd have killed His Spirit, He'd have never come back. But you see, that's the point of God. There is no death to the Spirit of God. There's no death to the saint of God. The saints glorify God. The saint of God understands his life is sainthood because of spirituality. He's operating under the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, repent every one of you, Acts 2:38, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of what? You don't go seeking for it, longing for it. You confess your sins, and the Spirit of God does the work. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Acts 2:38, if you don't feel that you're satisfied with your salvation, you better get busy tonight and let the Spirit of God get in your heart and do the work for you, because you can't do it. You can't do a thing about your salvation except realize that you've been drawn. And then the Spirit does all the work. You confess a little, try to. You know, sometimes we don't even know how to confess, do we? We try to confess. You know, some people say, well, Brother Billy, I've confessed. I said, but why don't you have faith about something? You can confess and talk all you want to, but faith is where it's at. Faith is the victory. Honor the Lord. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Remember where Jesus went for you. Remember He shed glory for you. He took everything He had for you. And He took the idea of you, and He took that situation of the old flesh that had been tricked by the devil, and He condemned sin in the flesh with His own body. But then it came time to meet his brother over there that afternoon. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You see, Jesus went to hell. And let me tell you this, and don't forget this. He didn't just go to hell when he was on the cross. He got a portion of it while he was in the garden, I believe. I told someone I believe he was crucified twice. But he just didn't do it one time without the Spirit. He was crucified in that garden. He was trying, and listen to me carefully, he was trying to find exactly where the line was drawn for the will of God. And he realized he had to die finally in the garden. And then he went on, and on Calvary, and he died on Calvary. He left, he knew, he led. He knew he had to deal with the Spirit to find out how to please God. He couldn't have just said, Father, I'm going to die now if you're going to take the Spirit. Jesus had to shed the robe of heaven. He had to get rid of the spiritual side. He had to get rid of everything he had. He had to know who Billy Nowell was. He had to know who every one of us was. He had to know that before he could die for you. And so he got rid, after he learned, he got rid of the Spirit, and I know the plan to buy them back. For 30 pieces of silver he was sold. But let me tell you, my friend, tonight, for an eternity you can spend with him today because of a little word called faith in the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient. Someone said, won't you pray for my healing? You don't need to pray for healing. You need to pray God's will to be done. If you love me, he said, you'd suffer some for me. Jesus Christ loves us and he cares for us, and he will not leave you nor forsake you, because he knows how bad it is to be left without no spirit, no hope, no concern. He knows how you feel. Sometimes we don't think he feels for. He feels our infirmities, the Bible says. He knows how you feel tonight. And he said, if you love me a little bit more. I've been sick to death. I've been sick several times, and the devil looked like was going to get me in spite of anybody's thoughts and consideration. Doctors looked at me and said, well, he might die. He might do. I said, Doc, don't worry too much. I know a real physician. His name is Jesus. And I'm probably healthy as a briar tonight. I may drop dead tonight. I hope so. That'll be all right. The joy of the Lord can be ours. Why? We have no desire to go, so to speak, but yet if we do go, we know where we're going, don't we? Why? The way has been made, the way has been paved, and it won't paid with the death of a man. It was paid with his death, burial, and resurrection more than anything, and I know he's sitting at the Father tonight because he was able to destroy death, hell, and the grave and give me an opportunity to be saved tonight. And to walk in glory with him as the sons of God. And you the same. You ought to be happy tonight. You ought to be happy that you're at church tonight. No wonder some of the old saints had left to come to church more. They can't come anymore. They're worn out. They have no way sometimes. You ought to go by there and love that person and tell them, I thought my mother was doing good 3 days and she was dead and gone with a heart condition. And I think sometimes that if I just had one more opportunity, I would have left or went by and said, Mom, I still love you. But you see, that happens. And you don't. But you know what? I know the Spirit of God. She used to tell me, she said, Billy, I know you don't have any money much. Here's $2. I said, well, I'm glad you gave it to me and not Oral Roberts. She'd give it to me. She'd give it to me. She said, I believe it ought to go where the Lord's using you at. She wouldn't even get to her church sometimes. I said, well, that's all right. I'll take it, Mom. I've got place for it. You know what? The Lord will look after you because of the Spirit, because of His death, His burial, and resurrection. He will look after you. He will care for you. Brother Tim Hardy, I remember Cheryl Canada many years ago, and Sam Spence sit right in here. And when they left this place, Cheryl was the last one to leave. And when he left, Jesse, he used to sit with us at the store. And he'd come in there, but he came back through that door that night after everybody left. He said, Billy, if that old 98 Ford don't make it and you don't get it paid for, he said, if you miss a payment, it's your own fault. You know who spoke to his heart? He told me that. I sent word. That's why I mentioned him tonight. I know he's not here because he had to go out of town with a something, situation, family or something. But anyway, I can tell you tonight, the Lord can deal with a man's heart when there ain't no way it looks like. I can see people today that it looks like with all of their will, they're trying to go to hell. They just don't have any spirit about them. But because of one man's sin, sin entered into the world. But because of one man's death, the resurrection of that old dead man came forth. And he's a Christian today. Many of us are. Because of that, I hope we all are. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enjoy your journey. Jesus died. Yes, he died. He was without a spirit for a while. Think about it and sit down there and read your Bible some and you'll see where I'm coming from. And let the Spirit of God speak to you. Don't just read the Bible because you're reading it for 5 minutes or 10. Read the Bible and let the Spirit of God move your very being. And then you can become a deacon, you could be a preacher, you could be most anything, because listen, he does the call and you do the answering. Had a young man in one of the churches, we had five young men called to preach out of the church at Irwin some years ago. One little fella called me one day and he was about that big, about 5 foot. Richard Whitman, he's preaching at Smyrna, Bunk knows where that's at. But he was, the Lord was after him, I went back to see him. The last 9 years over at Irwin that we really pastored before we came back home. And Richard, he may have preached here. I imagine he has. I'm not sure. But anyway, he was one day wanting to know how you would know if the Lord was calling you to preach. I said, Richard, don't worry about God's part. You just worry about living for Him. You do your part. So he asked his father-in-law, he was a deacon in the church, first time I was over at Irwin. He said, Hubert, how do you know if God's calling you to preach? Hubert said, I don't know. I ain't never been called. And so he turned around, and that was the story he got. So I went back over there to the church the last time and served for the 9 years. And he was married then in the church, married the father-in-law's daughter. And all of a sudden, the Lord got to working on little Richard, we call him. And he worked on him, and he worked on him. And the more he worked on him, Richard realized how much the Lord had done for him. And he can't talk real perfectly plain like I, you know, am about the same way. Sometimes you get your tongue twisted. But he gets to going, and he can preach 90 miles an hour. But as he began to go, he said, Brother Billy, I believe the Lord's called me to preach. I said, well, listen, you just go on and work and live and do your thing you're supposed to do because you got a family to feed, you know. All of a sudden, he come back a little bit later, and he said, Preacher, I want to speak for you tomorrow. I believe I could preach. And so I said, all right, come on. So he spoke for me, did good job. So anyway, it went on, and it went for probably 6 months. And the Lord was after him every day. He worked at Kelly Springfield's down there at Fayetteville area. He came back the next few days, and he said, Brother Billy, I know the Lord's working on my heart. I said, bless the Lord. I'm glad of that. He knows that you're trying to do the thing that's right. So all of a sudden, he kept going, and all of a sudden, he kept running and running and didn't know what to do. He called me again. He said, I think the Lord's really calling me to preach, Brother Billy. I says, well, Richard, I want you to do one thing for me. Forget the idea of worrying about God. He can handle his part. Can you handle his part too? And he said, well, I guess so. So I said, just be quiet and listen to the Lord. And about 2 days or three, he came back and he was wide open. I thought he was going to wreck his old car getting into the parsonage, stopping. Old pickup wore out. But anyway, he got in there and he stopped that thing. He come knocking on the door. He said, the Lord got me this morning. The Lord got me this morning. Listen to me today, church. When the Lord gets you, you should know that and honor that. Salvation or preach the gospel. Whatever it is, you ought to hear it. He come on in. I said, well, bless the Lord. Are you sure? He said, I know he did. I know he did. It's just like he wrote upon my heart and stamped me in the heart. Excuse me. He said, he stamped me there. And I know I have to preach the word. And he's preaching the word now for about 5 years, I guess. And Lord, you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, not many wise, not many of those great men, just a few of we old humble fellows that don't know nothing about this or that or the other, he has called us to preach. Why would he call somebody that don't know much? He can lead a man a long ways if you don't try to deviate from his leadership. He can tell you everything. The Bible says, and the Holy Ghost says, the deep things are searched by the Holy Spirit. The deep things of God, they've got to come by the Spirit. The Spirit, why? Jesus Christ, he got rid of the Spirit for that day for a few moments, and then he had the Spirit of God with him. And it took the power of the Spirit to resurrect him out of the grave. So their beauty is this, that we live in a time that people don't believe much in that blood, they don't believe much in the death, they don't believe much in the crucifixion. It's all love. But listen to me. There was one love that was worth it all. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus, for a few moments, took the world on as his friend. They were the enemies of God. But he took them on as a friend of his. And he died for us. When you think about it again, go home and tell someone, when Jesus Christ had no spirit, they may look like you're crazy. Well, take the Bible and prove it to them. Say, he handed his spirit unto the Father. Said, Father, here's my spirit. Receive my spirit. And having said thus, he died. Just before he died for the sins of the world, he got rid of the spirit. He knew what he had to do. He knew the spirit couldn't have a part because you can't kill God. He had to become the sacrifice. He was the one to pay for your sins and my sins. Tonight, we're here together. every one of us are supposed to be in the same category that we have spoke about tonight. Every one of us are supposed to be born again. If you're not born again tonight, you'll never get to heaven. There's no difference, the Bible says, in the Greeks, to Jews, to Gentiles. We all become one in Christ. I don't care what you are. If you're a Catholic tonight, if you're not born again, you'll never get to glory. That's the Bible. Jesus said, I'm the door, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man will get here but by me. Why? I'm the only one that could die for sin. And He took our sins. And He took our pardon. And He fixed it. And He paid for it. Tonight, as you worship and you're here with us, your attention has been good. But I'm telling you tonight, let that attention and that tension go out there to the world tomorrow. And don't mind letting people know by the example you live that you're living by the demands of a crucified Christ. And learn how for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Honor the Lord. You're going to have to die one day. And if you can get by other than what I've told you, you'll be lucky. Because I've given you just everything that there is to give you to get to heaven. You got to come through Christ. He's paid the way for you. You got to confess your sins and come through Christ. And then you can be a light for others. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. If you'll do those things, I can tell you, glory will be yours. I could stand here and tell you the many that have died that I knew in this area, pastor of this church, and I'll tell you, brother James, it's just about a clear slate today.